This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, BlackStarLabs.com, and by StrengthCoach.com. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 132 for the week of, I think we're going to start doing that now, May 3rd, 2009. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and I'm joined first off by Jonathan Fass of acceleratedstrength.com and jonathanfass.blogspot.com. What's up, John?
Just recovering from the off topic.
Are you going to be okay?
Dude, that's horrible. Please, to the listening audience, just don't listen this month, this week. It's horrible.
Yeah, just take 4 weeks off.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to predict the future. They'll all be awful too, but please don't.
All right. And next up, we got Cassandra Forsyth from CassandraForsyth.com. Cass, what's up?
I'm doing pretty good. Eating some goat yogurt with chia seeds in it. Mm-mm.
Big fan of the goat products, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I can't do cow's milk. Yeah. So it tastes pretty good, though.
Do you have trouble finding low fat versions of the goat products?
I don't want low fat, man. I like fat.
I know, but for those that have to keep calories down a little bit.
Okay, for 6 ounces of goat yogurt, there's only 4.5 grams of total fat.
All right.
I'm sorry. 4.5 grams of total fat is not breaking my body, okay? 7 grams of protein, 7 grams of carbs, and then I add a scoop, a serving scoop of goat milk protein isolate. Like whey protein, but and it has 24 grams of protein, 4 grams of carbs, and 2 grams of fat.
Is that
and
flavored? Then
it's vanilla. It's like vanilla flavor, but no artificial sweetener. And then I add a new artificial sweetener called Purevia, which is a stevia sweetener that I discovered when I was at the ADA scan sports nutrition meeting 2 weeks ago. And it is stevia with a little bit of isomalt, and that's it. And there's no aspartame, sodium cyclamate, anything like that. No artificial sweeteners. And then I put chia seeds in it and a little bit of puffed rice just to give it some like texture. That's my breakfast this morning.
Yeah.
Well, I would actually have eggs, but I would put a yolk in with my egg whites because there's only 5 grams of fat in an egg yolk.
Well, I traded my whole egg for some light cheese to make an omelet today. You know, I treated myself. So I swapped them out.
Why do you have to restrict fat, Kevin?
I don't have to restrict fat. I have to restrict calories. So I'm trying to bargain, you know.
But a calorie isn't a calorie isn't a calorie.
I understand that, but
I'm not arguing.
Then I wouldn't be able to have the cheese in, and the cheese gives it more flavor than that yolk would give me.
How many? No, yolks are great. But whatever. how many calories are you supposed to eat today?
Today I get 1550, a solid 1550.
Oh my god! Okay, that's all right. I'm not doing your diet, and I'm not dieting myself. So I guess, you know, I'd be in a different mindset if I was actually eating 1,500 calories.
Well, this is the hardcore. Just get it done.
Really?
Says the cable guy.
Okay. Mm. Get her done. Okay, Kevin, get her done.
That's what we're doing. And that's what we're going to do on this week's show because we have tons of stuff coming up, a huge mailbag. But first, I just want to quickly say thank you to the dozens of emails I got saying, you know, sorry for loss, and obviously people know we didn't have a show last week, so that's all I'm going to talk about that. Just thanks for that. FitCast t-shirts are now in and are shipping. I have a box about half full of t-shirts now after putting all the packages together, and they came out great. So if you want to get one of those t-shirts, they're $20 if you're inside the United States, and that would include shipping. And if you're outside of the United States, just add on $7 to pretty much worldwide, because it's going to vary between like an extra $5 and $10. So $7 will pretty much cover everyone. So check those out. And John and Cass, your t-shirts will be in the mail on Monday.
Thanks, dude.
Sweet. Thank you.
And John's getting two t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Because he needs to fit into two or what?
I need to fit into two.
Double leg.
Because I'm huge.
In what way?
I'm huge in the ego.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually cut them up and make one meta shirt that I'm going to wear like a cape.
Okay. What?
John, you really shouldn't do these shows in the morning.
I know. I have nothing. I have utterly nothing.
No, it's funny. It's just, it's like, okay, no comment. Like, crickets chirping. Chirp.
Yeah. So I didn't want to give my story this morning. Don't listen to the off-topic, for God's sake.
You have to. You have to now. Now people want to see how bad it was.
That's horrible.
John's really on The Sopranos. He's really one of the guys from The Sopranos. Yo, but I don't want to lose my hair.
Yeah, but I don't want to lose my hair.
It's my gabagool.
Hey, my gabagool.
What is that, by the way?
I don't know.
It's like pudding or something?
I got no idea.
Yo, Ma, what's my gabagool?
Dude, I'm Russian. I don't know.
Someone who watches Sopranos will have to explain that to us. Okay. T-shirts will be going out, and I will be hopefully getting pictures of Tony wearing his girl's small T-shirt this week when I head to Crest Performance. So look for those on thevicguest.com. I'm sure Tony's going to just tear it apart. As well. Update on Destination Abs. There was no update last week, but Lee and I have discussed. I have pictures taken for this week, so the update will be up on Tuesday. So check that out. And what we're going to do is not do any more special episodes or recordings until it's done. We're about 3 weeks out, so or 3 or 4 weeks out. We'll just say 4 to be safe. And after that, we will do final pictures and final discussions, and we'll take all your questions one more time to kind of explain what went on and how everything was done and the training and everything like that. But I'm very happy to be back to my full-body strength routine. As much as the bodybuilding stuff did help, I just don't know how dudes go into the gym, do a set, wait 60 seconds, and do another set. I was just bored out of my mind. I was playing on my iPhone the whole time. I was just wanted to just get in and out as fast as possible or do something else. So back to front squatting and did some 2-board pressing this week, which was awesome.
Good deal.
And that's about it. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with the mailbag for this week. So stick around.
If you want to boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat, head over to turbulencetraining.com and also check out ttmembers.com, a monthly turbulence training website where you can get a new program every single month.
First question on the mailbag comes from Jin from the UK. I've got a question for Jonathan. Let me give you some background. I'm 5'6", 160 pounds, and unlike Kevin, I hate benching, mainly because I suck at it, and my max bench being 200 pounds on a close grip 1-board press, which is as close as I get to full range of motion benching. My current goal is to reach triple body weight deadlift at 480 pounds, and I do tons of rows and pull-ups for this goal. I'd like to know if tight lats can affect my front squat technique, as I've seen seem to have some problems driving my elbows up high to keep the bar in the groove of my shoulders. This causes the bar to start slipping forward during the set. This sucks balls, especially with heavier weights, as it starts to mess up my wrists. I use the clean grip technique. The cross arm technique just feels unstable. P.S. Sorry for the long question. I really love your show, as it fires me up before my training session. Cheers.
Yes, and I agree with you too. The cross arm technique is... it doesn't feel as stable as a clean grip, although you could try to get the bar a little bit closer. I mean, really, literally have it resting on the neck with the arms up high. That usually helps. But absolutely, I mean, we've got you need a lot of flexibility in order to do a clean grip. And the lats can absolutely be involved, as well as a whole bunch of other muscles could be. Subscap is often a culprit as well, because it reduces your ability to get into that position. But yeah, I mean, honestly, it's just not much more complicated than that. I would try some foam rolling and obviously some stretching. You can try clean grip stretches and the type of things that like an Olympic weightlifter would do to get into position, and that should come along. But it is a difficult position to get into if you are a little bit stiff muscle-wise and and just keep working at it, and it should come along with you. Well, easy breezy question. Cheers, Jen. Next question. I finally arrived at the present. I have listened to every episode of the FitCast during the past 5 months, from diet soda shakes to bigger, faster, stronger to Kevin's California vacation to the addition of the ladies to Final Destination Abs. I have listened to it all and loved it. I started using Enrol, thanks to FitCast, right at the end of 2008, and I'm loving the new approach. I haven't given up on my curls completely, but I focus more on functional lifting. Cutting back on my three-day-a-week benching routine has been a big shocker. I know that was a routine you would love, Kevin, but I think I'm getting great results. All the freaking deadlifts and Bulgarian split squats have my back feeling better than ever. I've been eating according to Precision Nutrition, again, thanks FitCast, and I've been using some diet modifications based off of a lot of your guest methods. Here's my question. I'm 33, 6'2", 196 pounds, 9.4% body fat. 18 months ago, I weighed 250 with 30% body fat. Congratulations. Diet. I eat a very strict diet for most of the month, and I eat no refined sugar sweets, cakes, cookies, ice cream, etc. The thing that keeps me going is that 1 day per month, I blow it out. I eat over twice my daily intake of calories, around 6,000. Most of these calories are in the form of junk, half dozen donuts, batch of sugar cookies, cupcakes, etc. This has worked for me for the past 18 months. Does this style of cheat day pose any obvious risks? I do feel like crap by the end of the sugar day, but it re-energizes me for another month of healthy dieting. So I think I'll throw it out to Cassandra. What do you think, Cass?
Well, this is an approach that some people do take, but the only problem with eating things like sugar cookies, cupcakes, etc., I mean, if they're traditional sugar cakes, cookies, donuts, all that stuff, is trans fat intake. And you just wonder if you're really doing your body any good by consuming that much trans fat in your diet. So there's one thing. And then, do you really need to eat 6,000 calories by just eating straight sugar? I don't know how good that really is for your body in general. Like, why couldn't you eat 6,000 calories, a bunch of really good foods you really like, and then have, you know, a piece of cake or a cookie, but not just have that as your entire day? I'm not sure if I'm like hearing everything he's saying, but he says most of his calories are coming from those foods. I just think that you can eat high amounts of calories but make them good calories. Like, eat foods that maybe you haven't eaten a lot of, like fruits and berries and like things with a lot of antioxidants, or, you know, I don't know, extra fiber or maybe extra protein in your diet. I don't know what anyone else thinks about that, but I just think that you can have a great high day, but maybe not necessarily just eat sweets, refined sweets and crap, you know, junk. Potato chips.
What the hell's the fun in that?
Yeah.
Come on. No, but you can have fun. Like, yeah, have a piece of cake, but like go out to dinner and have like a huge steak dinner with a baked potato, totally loaded, you know, like sour cream, nothing with trans fat, and then have a cake, you know, maybe have some trans fats in it, or maybe it's like a baked cake that doesn't have like hydrogenated oils, like if there is one of those that exists out there at a restaurant, but I'm not sure. So
Panera Bread, it does not cook with any hydrogenated oils.
Okay, well then eat it Panera Bread. So yeah, I you know, yes, re-energizing yourself with a high amount of calories, sure, but maybe try to like curtail some of the junk food intake and add, like you said, like have like eat a half a pineapple, you know what I mean, like a fresh huge pineapple, get some awesome enzymes and minerals and things in your body that you wouldn't eat when you were dieting, when you're really strict, because a lot of people don't eat much fruit. And I know this makes me totally sound like a dietitian when I'm saying it. And I just
you sound like my mom.
Yeah,
come on!
Come on, Cass. Can I just have one more piece of cake?
No.
Mama Cass.
Mama Cass. And now we have a title for this week's show. Thank you.
You both. And by the way, I can't get IM on Skype, so I know, Kevin, when you're sending me little messages here, I can't tell what you're saying. I don't know why I have the So I'll ask the next question. But anyway, someone else say something about this. I need Lee here for this, man, because, yeah, cool, eat cookies, cakes, maybe if you do really want to eat them too, make sure that they are, you know, fresh baked or something like that. Something that you know what the ingredients are in it, or they're flaxseed cookies or something like that. Just try to have some good in there instead of it just being all completely 100% bad. Because the other thing about trans fat is it increases inflammation for a really long time, which can increase your risk for disease, decrease muscle growth. Increase your muscle pain. I don't know if anyone really needs that. And he's said you say you feel like crap, but it's probably just because you like go hypoglycemic, you know.
Sugar bonks. Crash.
Total.
Sugar crash. The only thing that I'd probably add on to that is like, dude, if you're going to get 6,000 calories in, you better just train like an MFer on that day. Might as well just train for like an hour and a half.
Yeah,
work on some lagging muscles. You know?
Just getting hit with the Pacquiao sugar.
Don't just wake up and eat from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Yeah, really. That sounds like, I mean, I guess those are like just calorie bombs, you know, cakes and cookies and stuff like that. But wow, that's like 6,000 calories of sugar. That's awesome.
Dude, it's doable.
Yeah, it's doable.
Like, why not just eat a whole, like, make a huge omelet with like five whole eggs? You know what I mean? And get a whole bunch of good, you know, egg yolk phospholipids.
But yeah,
like,
but what if
it tastes great?
No, but what if the dude's craving like some. Yeah. Quote, cookies, cakes, ice cream, etc.
Yeah, well, have an omelet and have a cookie with it. You know what I mean?
Have a cookie omelet.
A cookie omelet.
Yeah, you could make a cookie. We
a
should
chocolate
make a
chip omelet?
Book.
Chocolate
you
chip
know,
omelet, yeah.
Wait,
no. The what do you call it? The what do you call it? Like the waffles, like chocolate chip waffles and stuff? Ooh. Or pancakes?
A sandwich with
yeah.
eggs in it?
Or oh. I can make... I could do my cookie sandwich that I did at Cass's.
Dude, you guys, I can't eat food today, so stop doing this.
Dude, I made a cookie sandwich at Cass's. She had a party for her graduation.
Cookie sandwich?
Yeah, I made – I took two – yeah. Remember I showed you. I took two cookies.
Oh, yeah, that's
and then
great.
And then I put a chocolate what do you call it? Brownie in the middle, and I made like a cookie sandwich. It was
John,
wonderful.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I saw that and I was looking at you weird. Okay.
And I was like drinking a beer and I had a cookie sandwich. It doesn't get much better than that.
Cass, you want to grab the next question for John?
Yes, I will. And I'm sorry, I don't have the IM function.
That's fine.
Okay. Hi, guys. My name is Mark. Hi, my name is Mark. I never get to have fun in my life. It's so fun.
Yeah, I wonder how Mark feels now.
Hi, guys. Hi. My name is Mark.
Sorry, Mark.
Mark, I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm 6'2", 230. I'm probably about 18% body fat, though I can't be 100% sure. Just as a side note, I knew someone that said they're 18% body fat. Then we measured them on a DEXA, and they were 31% body fat.
Whoops.
Oof.
But not to say that's you, Mark. This is just this person. But never mind. I don't know you, Mark. I'm sure you're 18% body fat. I can't tell you guys how much I love the show. He's never coming back to listen.
Unsubscribe.
It has really been a huge part of my motivation to get into better shape, specifically stronger, this year. My question is about my training. I'm currently doing Cressy's Maximum Strength. I am 3 weeks in and already seeing significant gains in strength. I've decided that I want to participate in a sprint triathlon this September. I'm going to have to start training in June at the very latest, which would cut my Maximum Strength program short by a month. So what do I do? Should I complete max strength and leave myself only 2 months of time to prepare for the triathlon, or should I cut the max strength program short? Another element to consider is that there is an Ironman triathlon, an Ironman triathlon taking place in St. George, Utah in May 2010. I'd really like to do it since I've never been an Ironman in Utah. Or there has never been an Ironman in Utah before. I've never done a triathlon or any kind of endurance race like that before, and I imagine about a year of consistent training would be enough to prepare for that. What do you all think about this as well? One more question. Will triathlon training make me lose strength gains I have made? Any advice for training it for a triathlon is greatly appreciated. Sorry for the long questions, but I really respect your opinions, and I needed to ask them. Thanks again, you guys. You are the best. He doesn't like me, though.
No, minus like Cassandra Forsyth.
Minus Cassandra Forsyth. I think this is like a group question because...
I should just dial up Eric on Skype.
Yeah, really?
No, I totally have a... I've heard Eric talk about the crossover
perfect.
Between endurance and read his work. And I was just talking to Jonathan about it, too. Endurance and strength training last weekend when he was here.
Well, you guys tag team it.
Jonathan, you first.
You first.
Okay, well, my thoughts. I did not even hesitate. My thoughts are that if you have never done a triathlon, maybe you should do a triathlon before you decide you want to do an Ironman. Because an Ironman.
Well, that's the sprint. That is his sprint, but the difference between a sprint and an Ironman is just ginormous.
Yes, that's a lot of difference. A lot of people do many triathlons before they ever decide to do an Ironman because you have to consider an Ironman as a full marathon. And it takes an entire day, not just a couple hours. So, and a sprint triathlon is even different than a triathlon. So maybe just work yourself up. But if you're going to train for that, I wouldn't try to work on strength. You're going to really need all the endurance training you can. Yes, you can strength train, but don't try to make maximum strength your goals. So pick one in this case. And this is what Eric has talked about before. And we've looked at in the research at UConn before that there is this, you know, you negate one activity by trying to do two at the same time. It's like, what does he say? Is trying to
ride two horses.
Yeah. Riding two horses. Yeah. With one ass.
Yep. Basically what you're doing.
Yeah.
Totally agree. I mean, that's exactly what Cass said. You can't choose all these things at once. Will you lose strength? Assuming right now that you're training like a strength athlete, which is what Eric spoke is about, then yes, you will absolutely lose strength. You can continue to train, and you should train with weights while you're training for a triathlon. But if you want to run in a triathlon, you need to train for the triathlon. You can't train as like a power lifter that will be running a triathlon. That doesn't work that well. So there's that. Yeah, I mean, everything else that Cass said is basically it's right on the button there. Am I missing anything else? Blah 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 blah.
Well, body is taken into consideration too, right? Because if he's going to gain strength, you know, like being in the max strength program, he's going to gain body weight. But people who run triathlons and, you know, Ironmans, they try to get their body weight down. Not like by always losing a lot of muscle, but that generally does happen.
Yeah, that'll
to some
happen.
Extent.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to basically solve his anything about the body fat. That's going to cut that in half easy. I mean, triathlon training is just one gigantic aerobic hodgepodge, you know, and even a sprint is still a very intense race. So that's going to absolutely happen. And he's going to basically change himself from being a strength athlete to being an endurance athlete. I mean, I don't even know. I think he said something about 2 months to train for the sprint and, right? Oh no, September. And then he's going to start training in June. I would go, I don't know if that's long enough, to be honest with you, especially if you've never done it before. Usually what you find with triathletes is that they usually come in from being good. You'll always be good at one thing. So maybe I'm a runner, and most people are going to be good at running. There are some people that might be swimmers, and there might be some people that are bike riders. But generally speaking, most people are like 5K, 10K type of people, even doing longer runs, but they're all marathon runners, and then they kind of dip their foot in the water, so to speak, for a triathlon. So if you haven't even been doing that, you're going to need a lot more than 2 or 3 months of prep time, in my opinion. You're probably going to need a lot more. Now, you should never plan on placing your first race. Your first race is just to do it, you know, and to get an idea, and a sprint is a good way to start. But to consider the Ironman at St. George, which is like one of the meccas of Ironman. I mean, the Utah one is right underneath the one in Hawaii. I mean, that's a huge, huge race. And that's way more than a year, in my opinion. I mean, you've really, really, really got to put in some hard training. I mean, those are the things that the best do. And if you have no aerobic background, which it doesn't sound like he does, then I'm thinking that he's got to consider that too and let the training determine what he's actually capable of.
But it's not undoable, if that's even a word. It's not impossible. And there are a whole bunch of things that he can use, a lot of resources. Like right now I'm holding in my hand a book by Bob Sibohar. He is was the head dietitian at the Olympic Training Center, and it is an endurance-minded athlete. Has a book called Nutrition Periodization for Endurance Athletes.
Yeah.
I'd pick that book up. I would also look at Chris Moore, who is not necessarily a traditional endurance athlete, ran his first Ironman, I think it was last year, or the year before. So he's got a lot of training background. Rachel Cosgrove's done a bunch of Ironmans, but like start getting in that Ironman community or the triathlon community, because there's a lot of, you're going to need that sort of support, because these people, like one of my girlfriends, Marnie, her site is trymarnie.blogspot.com or something like that. Marnie Rakes. She gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning and she'll blog about how like the sun isn't even up and she has to go get on her bike and do a training ride today. And then she goes and swims after that just so she can get and go into work. And then after work, do another training ride or something like that. So it gets intense. It gets intense, but she did run Kona and she has run the Florida Ironman. And so, you know, that's what those people do.
Yeah, it's a life. It's not even a lifestyle. It's a life. So yeah. So it's not to say that it's impossible, but I think that personally, I would allow, especially as a new triathlete, I would let my training dictate where I'm actually going to run, because you will find out how well you're progressing or not progressing, and then you can call it from there. So best of luck, though. I mean, that's an awesome.
You're going to do great.
Goal. Yeah.
Yeah. You've got a lot of good resources.
Well, good luck, Mark. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back to talk about beef-based protein powders. So stick around. If you want to get the best-tasting, highest-quality protein powder out there, you got to go to blackstarlabs.com. Now with new discounted prices, so you can save more than ever. Next question comes from Ryan. Hey guys, love the show. I have a couple of quick questions. What is your take on the beef protein isolate? This is that is now available at trueprotein.com. Everybody is always saying that during a mass skinning phase, you should eat more beef. So would this be a good option during a mass phase, or is it the other components of beef that are its importance? Is it something worth looking into, or should we stick with the staples, whey and casein? And I would like to kind of branch this out into a discussion on just how is beef protein isolate for people like yourself, Cass, who cannot have dairy.
Yeah, it's cool. I was just looking at it. I've never even heard about beef before. I'm not a beef fan, though, so I probably wouldn't eat it. I actually really don't like beef at all. I'm sorry. I come from Canada. I come from beef country, Cass.
Oh, man.
I know, but the website doesn't have The website doesn't
have meat at every meal.
It doesn't have very much information on it about it, and the only thing that kind of freaks me out is like, what quality of beef are they using? Are they using a grass-fed beef? Are they using a organic beef or a beef that's not loaded with antibiotics and hormones and I don't know. Whatever else they stick in beef nowadays. So it's kind of, I'm not sure. I'm not knocking it. And maybe and what does it taste like? Kevin, do you know? I don't know.
I mean, what they do is they allow you to choose from their flavoring systems, which they actually allow you to use stevia as one of the sweeteners. And so if you don't want to use artificial sweetener, you can do that. But the stuff that I gotten from True Protein before is, you know, it's not bad. I mean, it still tastes like protein powder with no sugar in it. So,
this beef protein tastes like just protein powder.
I haven't tasted the beef protein, but I'm guessing it's not going to, you know, have that that iron taste, that beef taste to it.
Yeah, I just don't know. Like, what
people
would
have
you
to let us know. I'll ask my client. I have a client that just ordered some. I'll ask her on Monday.
Oh, her? She a beef person?
No, well, she's just not. She can't have any dairy. This is why in the off-topic discussion we talk a lot about goat protein, because that's one of the things I have her on. Is she has like goat milk and goat cheese and goat yogurt.
Yeah, love it.
And sheep like cheese.
Yep.
Like,
there's sheep yogurt too. It's really yummy.
I didn't know that was something that people actually enjoyed eating. But,
and you know what the nice thing is about the Redwood Hill Farm goat milk yogurt that I use? The company, they know the name. They named every single one of their goats, and it's like their family. I'm serious. They're like, their goats are like their kids. And I know you can laugh at it, but they don't use any hormones or unnecessary drugs in their goats, you know, unless if someone's sick, you know, everyone gets something, but they don't use like things to artificially make them larger, produce more milk.
And they said you can enhancing.
No performance enhancing drugs. Yes. So they actually like they take care and you can just tell on the quality of their product. And a lot of these companies are like that. I know you laugh, whatever. There's other alternatives for your client and maybe someone that can't use whey. I was showing Jonathan, there's a hemp protein, a 70%.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Hemp protein. You did? Because
no,
it's not
they
out
have
yet.
It. No, they have it at Trader Joe's.
No. It's not the new. No. This isn't released yet. This is a 70% hemp protein. You've seen the hemp protein, but it's still not a high quality. This one has 21 grams of protein, 3 grams of carbs, 2 grams of fat.
Wow.
And it's from Manitoba Harvest. And they don't have it out yet because I was at a conference 2 weeks ago and they said they just put the labels on the bottles and they're going to be shipping it off pretty quick. But I got a bottle to try and it's awesome. It tastes really good, mixes really well. And it's got the same, you know, macro profile as whey protein does, and you don't get any allergies from cow's milk. Then I was talking to her about pea protein. This is really cool. She's like, yeah, we know the pea protein people. They're just down the road from us. And she's like, I see the smoke that comes out their smokestacks, and I just wonder what the hell they're doing. Like, they don't use any processing or heat in the hemp protein plant. And she was like, I don't know. I'm kind of sketched out, like, about pea protein. So she told me that, and I don't know. Maybe it's because she's, like, competitor. But that was kind of interesting because it'd be nice to go visit some of these companies that make your food and find out, like, from your container, you know, way back to the beginning, what actually happened. So that was kind of cool. But anyway, back to the beef protein isolate. I don't know.
You could go pet Bob the sheep.
Yeah.
You could go pet. But these cows, like, what quality of cows are they coming from? Like, what quality of beef? You know, is it a high quality beef? Are these cows, like, you know, there's no mad cow in here? Who knows? I don't know. And what's it really taste like? And then what's wrong with just buying a really extra lean ground beef? Like making a hamburger or something, you know, like grilling it on the grill. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, what's, you know?
Chop it up, dice it, put it in some water and blend it and eat it.
Yeah. I mean, if you really want to do that, you could cook it up and blend it and make yourself a beef shake. I know that's probably been done.
Yeah. Kev, anyway. For the record, Kevin, I would name one of my sheeps Kevin in honor of you.
I have a cow named after me. Okay, never mind. No, my aunts and uncles are all cow farmers in Alberta, and they named a cow after me, and I'm sure it's dead now and eaten, but still.
Oh,
I'm sure you tasted good, Cass.
Cassie the cow.
But anyways, if this guy can eat whey and casein, you know, do it. And maybe look for – I'm going to blog about that hemp protein. I'll take a picture, and nice. I'm going to hopefully get it out there, you know, because you can order it online. It's a new option.
Very cool.
Okay, I'm done.
I have a quick side question for you guys, and especially for Cass. Cass, are you going to the Sports Nutrition Symposium in like 2 weeks or 3 weeks?
The one with Bob and Joey and Marie Spano in Colorado?
Yeah.
No. I'm going to go to there is one in October, though. It's a Sports Nutrition Symposium I'm going to. But that one with – no, because – Joey's going to talk about sports nutritional supplements, and I've seen his presentation all the time. I just saw Bob Sebahar speak 2 weeks ago, and it's going to be the same presentation. Marie Spano is a friend of mine, and I'm sure whatever. And Amanda Carlson also is a friend of mine. I've seen her speak a bunch of times. And I can't afford it.
Yeah, I'll say that. It's kind of expensive, but.
But there's another one. I'll put it so you can put it up on the FitCast. There's this other really good one. It's at the Olympic Training Center, and you actually get to stay at the Olympic Training Center. It's a 2-day conference, and I'm so pumped about that because my ultimate goal is to be a dietitian at an Olympic Training Center. That's my goal. Da-da-da-da. Okay, next.
And you're going to look back on this and be like, yeah, see, I told you. I said it on the FitCast.
Yeah, well, hey. Future. I said many years ago, I said, I want to write in magazines. I want that to be me that they quote. And now it is.
Done.
You say it will happen.
Done.
The next question that we have comes from Larry. He says, I'm fired up. I'm at 203 pound. I'm at 203 pounds, down from 245 just 6 months ago. I've been lifting weights in my basement every. This is going to be a tough pink dumbbell war, John. Every day, doing light cardio to lose fat. Now I'm ready to improve my gains. I started out with just 3 sets of 10 reps on bench, shoulder press, and push-ups and curls. Since I found your podcast, I've added squats, lunges, shoulder flies. I don't know what shoulder flies are.
I'm not sure either.
Like lateral raises?
That's what I was thinking.
And purchased a pull-up bar, but can't do much with it yet. I have also changed my weightlifting routine to 3 days a week. I've established a base, but would like to add more muscle. I am changing my routine to more sets and fewer reps. I also need to lose 13 more pounds, but I started with nothing about 25 years of no exercise and eating anything and everything. I've added creatine and fish oil. Do I need to drop the cardio to maximize gains? My weight and my goals have plateaued. I am considering a refeed to refuel to get rid of the rest of the fat. Any other suggestions of the podcast, particularly when you and Lee, which I'm guessing is John and Lee, share learning from specific studies. Keep up the good work, Larry. So, John, what can Larry do about his training?
Yeah, I mean, the change in focus will certainly help. And let's talk a little bit about a plateau. Plateau, honestly, the way that I look at plateaus are like 2 months or so. You know, I get a lot of times where people say, oh, I'm plateauing. I haven't lost weight in like 2 weeks. You know, it's not really a plateau. I mean, the body will fluctuate. I mean, you hope that you'll have a nice steady decrease, but it rarely happens. And people that have dieted, especially lost a lot of weight, will tell you that. I mean, it's going to come in fits and spurts. So you're going to lose a good steady stream usually in the beginning, and then it'll start to taper off. But it doesn't mean that you're not going to continue to lose. It just things change, and therefore you have to adapt to those changes. So the change in the focus should help. I mean, if you're going to go from something where you're considering just a basic kind of like, you know, muscle gaining type of focus to something of strength, that's going to be an impulse now to change for the body. If you're still looking to lose weight, his focus is to gain strength. So then absolutely. he kind of says both because it's weight and gains. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's kind of – it's kind of what we were talking about before. Do you want to continue to lose weight or do you want to start to gain strength? Because they don't have to necessarily be exclusive of one another, but you're really going to have a tough time doing both well if you're trying to do both at the same time. So you do have to decide what's more important to you at this point. If you want to continue to lose weight, then you do have to look at your diet, and Cass could probably make some recommendations about that. And you do have to look at the way that you're exercising and, you know, maybe potentially change it around a little bit to do something that might be – is that Taz?
Sorry.
That's Taz, isn't it?
Sorry. I hate my dogs.
you may have to focus on – you know, changing your exercise routine around a little bit to get a little bit more, you know, calorie burny metabolic like exercise. And if you're interested in doing strength, we already talked about Press's book. Then you can get it like $12 on Amazon. That's a great place to start also. So either one, pick a goal and look at that goal seriously, and you should get better results that way.
Yeah, with nutrition, just don't cut yourself short. That's the only thing is you're just starting out and we could call you a newbie, but really if you cut your calories, you're sort of, you know, you're preventing yourself from giving it your all in the gym. So make sure you're eating a good diet. I mean, everyone knows what good foods are and bad foods are, you know, and then you can start getting more specific with your diet as you become more trained and your body can take, you know, cutting back calories a little bit and like cycling your carbs and, you know, your fat and whatnot. But, you know, make sure you're getting enough protein in. You know, you'll probably need to use a protein powder of some sort, you know, get in a shake post-workout, get in your essential fats, you know, all the basic things of nutrition. Just start basic. Don't make it too complicated. And as you get more trained, you can start, you know, changing things and specifying things. But, you know, don't cut calories back too much just to lose fat. So.
And definitely, you know, and that's a good point too, because, and that's really where we get into the idea of, you know, pick your goal and your focus, because losing weight is going to require fewer calories and gaining strength is going to require more calories. So you've got that problem right then and there. And it just doesn't work exceptionally well when you're trying to do both of them, and you are to some extent on two opposite sides of the spectrum there. So it's not to say that you can't continue to gain strength as you're losing weight. Just don't make that your focus. If it happens, be happy about it. And that doesn't mean that you can't lose weight while you're trying to gain strength. It's just not your focus. So that's kind of what it is. Next question is from Shane. Shane is a college student. So I'm a college student. And I have a hard time getting the right foods, healthy foods, because I'm the only one in my family of five that cares about nutrition on a serious level. I have a job, but my parents don't want me spending my money on food, so I eat what my mom buys. It is not entirely bad, but she still buys Jif instead of natural peanut butter and white instead of wheat bread. My biggest problem is getting enough of the good food because it is limited, so I have to dip into some not-so-healthy food. In your guy's opinion, should I just wait it out until I live on my own or find some other way to get healthy food, even if I have to spend my own money? How much will dipping into the not so healthy food affect my overall health? I lift 3 to 4 days a week and do cardio 4 to 5. Thanks in advance for the help, Shane. So Kevin, as our most recent undergraduate graduate, what do you think?
Well, actually, that's not true. Well, undergraduate graduate, I'm sure.
Yes,
but,
very true.
The first thing, if your family is purchasing food for the household and they just don't want to purchase healthy food, that does not make too much sense. You should definitely just sit down with, you know, if your mother's doing the purchasing, be like, Mom, you know, instead of Jif, can you just pick up, you know, have her make small steps, pick up Skippy Natural. And it's not the perfect peanut butter, but it's a nice step in the general direction where you want to go. And, you know, if you think about it, a lot of the food she's probably buying aren't that bad. Like if she's buying chicken breasts, if she's buying, you know, pretty lean beef, you can use that, and that's going to be a very healthy alternative. You just don't have to have her cook it. I mean, at your age, you have to start learning to cook and prepare your own food. That's something that, you know, might be the deciding factor on whether you're going to get the results, because if you're just like, oh, I'm not going to, you know, prepare the food, I'm not going to cook the food, I'm just going to eat whatever my parents make for me, then you're going to be kind of screwed. You're not going to be able to get the optimal effects from your training. So, and if you have to spend your own money, it's not too expensive to eat healthy. I swear to God, I have clients that will just say, yeah, I'm just kind of worried about how much more expensive it's going to be to purchase healthier food, but it's really not. It really isn't, because you're going to find that a lot of people, when they buy that junk food, they just buy a lot of junk food where they could just be buying, you know, the amount of healthy food that they need. So if you need to pick up some, you know, smaller things for yourself, like just pick up some frozen vegetables, but I'm pretty sure your mom probably is buying those fresh vegetables. Just make sure she buys enough so you can take some off to the side and, you know, she doesn't prepare them in an unhealthy fashion. Just steam some broccoli for yourself or boil some green beans for yourself. Like, it's, you just kind of have to take that extra step. And problem is, if you're going to be training hard, man, you gotta be feeding that, and don't just, what'd you say? Just wait a couple years till you're out on your own, man. Why wait when you can do it right now and you're doing the training anyways? And, just make sure you got your lifting regimen in check, and, you know, cardio 4 to 5 days a week. That sounds like quite a bit. I don't know if you are you'd like to run or something like that, or if you're on the track team, but that's quite a lot of running. And if you want to focus on muscle and strength gains, you might want to cut that down quite a bit and just work on some energy system development. That's all mine. I don't know if you guys have anything else, but on also the college, I wrote a couple articles for T-Nation, which kind of addressed how to shop on the cheap with the college budget. So I'll try to link to those in the show notes.
Yeah, I think, and I agree, and I think if we look at it from the standpoint of his parents, it sounds to me like his mom's just trying to do him a favor. You know, she's like, yeah, no, spend your money the way, you know, so this isn't like the type of situation where it doesn't sound to me like she's trying to, you know, stand as a wall between him and good health. I mean, I think that in her mind, it sounds like she's trying to do her son a favor. Like, no, don't spend money on food. Spend it on, you know, going out and having a good time. You're in college. Let me take care of that. I mean, parents are always going to want to be parents. Lord knows my mother's still telling me what to do, and I'm almost 32. But, you know, so to me, it seems like it's more of a – it seems to me like it's more of a situation where it's just like, you know what, Mom, you know, I'm trying to – you know, I would be very happy to eat the food that you're getting. I understand that you want to take care of me, but this is not taking care of me. You know, it's as simple as that. I mean, it's – you know, if she's willing to go the extra step to get food that you're saying is healthier and better for you, then, you know, Mom, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. But if she doesn't, then – you have to say, look, I know you're trying to do me a favor, but in the long run, you're not doing me a favor. And I'll tell you from personal experience, I had the same kind of things happen with my parents. You know, I tell them all the time, stop buying this, don't eat that. Look at the ingredients. This, you know, you've got trans fats in this, you've got high fructose corn syrup, you know, whatever the case may be, and they just don't get it. You know, so it's not even sometimes about, you know, it's not even – this isn't their field, and they don't understand what you're talking about. It's like, no, I checked the side of the label. It says no trans fats. And it's like, but there are. They're just rounding down. You know, there are bad ingredients in here, and they don't always understand that stuff. So it's not necessarily even, you know, the listener's fault. It's the parent's fault. There's his mother's fault there. It's just, you know, sometimes it just – they don't quite understand the things that we're seeing. So – I agree with you totally, Kev.
Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to be right back with a question from Bert. He's writing from Napa Valley, California. It's a cool place. We'll be right back.
Michael Boyle, strengthcoach.com, the number one source of performance enhancement information on the internet. Are you looking for cutting-edge information updated almost every day? Do you like info-packed forums with almost real-time answers from industry experts? Then log on to www.strengthcoach.com. For only $1 for 14 days, you can test drive the number one source of performance enhancement information on the internet, strengthcoach.com. Have you logged on today?
The next question that we have comes from Bert. I've been listening to your podcast for a while now and find it very informative. Good job. When I turned 40, I was 230 pounds with a 42-inch waist, 6 feet tall. Turning 40 was hard, and I made it a quest to get fit. I'm now 44 and 185 pounds with about 14% body fat, 32-inch waist. John, this is going to be really tough. I'm telling you, man, we got some great stories.
Yeah.
Since I turned 40, I've cut out all refined foods, no sugar, white bread, etc., and eat pretty good. About 1,800 to 2,200 calories per day. Also, don't eat after 7 p.m. I'm trying to get rid of the roll and handles around my midsection without losing muscle. I know this is a balance act, but finding it difficult to attain. I do 20 minutes of cardio every morning to get me going. 6 days a week, I do 20 minutes of cardio at noon as a stress releaser mainly. 3 days a week, I do 45 minutes of strength training. I am into supplements, fish oil, 5 to 8 grams of creatine, whey protein, plus lean meats, multivitamin, to name a few. What do you advise as I run out of energy to get a good strength training session in, but when I eat more, I am not losing the roll? Should I concentrate on one or the other, roll reduction or muscle building, or continue a balance of both? Bert in Napa Valley, California, home of wine in America.
America.
You happy, America. John? So, yeah. Cass, what can Bert do? What should he start doing to obtain his goals?
America.
Well, he can build muscle and lose fat at the same time at this stage in his training, if I guess is what you can call it. In research that we've done at University of Connecticut, we have seen people gain muscle and lose fat at the same time. It is 100% possible. It gets harder as you become more trained and you've got amounts of body fat, because then there's the balancing act. But anytime you go from being sedentary or not having, being very active and not eating well to exercising and eating better, you're going to lose body fat. You add weight training in the mix, you're going to gain muscle. So you will lose that roll around your middle. It will happen. You just got to keep being consistent. You can't just diet and train for 2 weeks, or not necessarily diet, but just eat well and train for 2 weeks and then think, oh, this roll should be gone. Oh, I'm going to give up. That's what a lot of people get, you know, that's what happens. It's just going to take a little bit of time. It didn't take you 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks to gain the roll. It probably took you a couple months. And then the same respect, it's going to take maybe a couple months to get rid of it. But, you know, just keep working out, keep eating well. It's really not that hard, and it doesn't have to be split into roll reduction or muscle building, because those both are going to happen at the same time.
John, what about the amount of cardio and weight training he's doing? Is there anything you should change there?
Yeah, I mean, he's talking about losing some energy for his strength training. And I don't disagree with Cass, but it is still the same idea that we were talking about before, where as you start to find that you're losing your ability to put effort into one area or another, that's when you have to start to consider what's more important to you. If he's losing energy in the strength training, what I would say is to reduce the volume, because when you're trying to lose weight and lose fat, the total volume of exercise is probably going to be secondary to your actual diet. So at that point, that's where I would normally reduce volume overall for someone that's trying to lose fat and let the diet control that fat loss, and you're really using the workouts.
Wait a sec. Yeah. He's only doing 20 minutes of cardio in the morning to get him going, and then 20 minutes at noon, like a walk around the block.
Yeah, but he's talking about his strength training.
He's only doing strength training 3 days a week for 45 minutes.
Yeah, but he's losing his energy.
There's not a lot of volume there. Right?
No, but he's losing his energy.
Because he's untrained. He's going to be tired.
Well, he's going to be somewhat trained. He's been lifting for a while.
He lost 70 pounds, 50 pounds, and dropped 10 inches off his waist.
Was he training during that time?
It seems to me that that's what he's been doing. I mean, if he's just started strength training, then I would agree with you, but it didn't sound to me like that's what was happening.
Well, let's talk about calories, too. Maybe his calories are too low and he's running out of – and maybe they could be, you know, he's not timing. He's waiting too long after he eats to get into the gym. And then he's waiting too long after he works out to replenish his fuel stores.
Good point.
Possible.
So I don't think he's only weight training 3 days a week. So in this case, he can, that's definitely doable. And 20 minutes of cardio every morning is pretty moderate, and it is a nice wake-up. I do that, I'll admit. I'll get up, get out of bed. I'll go for a walk with my dogs before I eat breakfast, before I have a shower, everything, you know, for about 20, 30 minutes. You know, that doesn't, like, burn me out for the day. What would burn me out is if I, you know, ran, like, 4 miles or something in the morning before I had breakfast, you know. That would make me a bit more tired, you know, because I'm not trained for that. But, you know, it's not – he's not really overdoing it. It could be a caloric thing. And he says, well, you know, if I eat more, I'm not going to lose the roll. Well, that may not necessarily be true. It may be depending on what you are eating and how you're timing it. And another question is about the calories. Are you really eating that many calories? Maybe you're eating less than that. And how are you determining this? Like, are you weighing and measuring all your food? And what program are you using to determine that caloric intake? And then have you ever determined what your caloric needs are? Like, have you ever done any calorie calculation equations and figured out, you know, what your resting metabolic rate could be and how many calories you could take in? I mean, I know there's a lot of different ones out there, but...
Yeah, it looks like he's just doing, like, body weight times 10.
Yeah, just a very simple... Yeah. And, I mean, that's quite low. Mm-hmm. Body weight times 10 is... That's low. I mean, you know, it just... Yeah, that's rough. You know, that's what people eat when they're in the hospital beds and not moving at all.
I think you need Spike, Bert. To be honest, a nice can of Spike before training, clunk, 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 and then you're ready to go. Go bench 400 pounds.
No, but he could time his meals differently. Like, maybe he is waiting too long. Maybe he's having lunch at noon or something, or after he walks, he has lunch, and then he's training at like 4 o'clock. I have to eat like within an hour, hour and a half of training to like get a good workout. Otherwise, I just feel like crap and I don't have a good workout. So maybe consider how your meals are being timed, and then consider what you're having after your workout. Like, are you waiting for an hour? Are you having protein after your workout? You know, how much are you having? How much sleep are you getting at night? Does anyone agree with me? Do I sound like Mama Cass? Like, seriously.
A little bit like Mama Cass, yeah. But no, I agree.
But
it's bedtime.
Sleep. Stop watching Star Trek.
Come on, Taz. Let's go to sleep.
Taz sleeps with us. Yeah. He's a tick dog. He brought home 3 ticks yesterday, and they were on me. It pissed me off.
That's gross.
Yeah, but I love my dog, so it doesn't matter.
My dog's like looking out the window right now, sitting on my bed, just getting ready to bark at something. So if he barks again this week, sorry.
Hey, my dog just did it.
Yeah, no, it's the life that we live. Yeah. Next question we have comes from Bob. Bob asks, hello, Kevin and crew. I love the Fit Cast, though Jonathan Fast will be missed. John, are you leaving us?
Did I just get fired?
You're fired.
That's Vincent McMahon.
I don't get.
I guess he's assuming because I guess he's assuming because the residency and all that stuff.
You're big time, man. You're big time. Yeah. Like honestly, after this, Madonna's going to be going to you for training.
Yeah, I'm going to make her do 3-pound weights.
No,
she can't hold her children.
Five would be a lot.
Five would be too much. No, Cass.
Five's overboard.
We don't.
Three,
yeah,
she's allowed, right? But not five.
Three, she's allowed. Five is a little too much. You might.
It can't be any color other than pink or yellow.
Pink. Yeah.
No yellow. Yellow's okay now too because it's like a
light blue.
Light blue, like a sky blue.
Mm-hmm. That's like, what I was thinking.
You could do a sky blue.
Okay.
Just not a dark blue. And it has to have rubber. It can't be iron. It has to have rubber.
And seriously, I just – that point in that video when she's like, oh, well, I carry my kid and the kid's like 30 pounds. So
I have to do extra work in the other arm.
So this is – love that.
Get it?
Okay, continue with Bob's question.
Bob has a question. Here's a question for the panel. How do you progress on chin-ups and pull-ups? I'm stuck at about 4 to 5 pull-ups and around 6 to 7 chin-ups with body weight. I tried a ladder approach, starting by doing half the total number of reps I can do. For example, 3 reps, rest 15 seconds, 2 reps, rest for 15 seconds, 1 rep, rest for 1 minute, and repeat. That approach builds up the total volume, but I still am stuck at the same level. How do I increase my strength and endurance on these, Bob? And I'm sure we can all have a couple of tips for Bob on this. John, you want to start off?
Yeah, negatives and eccentrics are always the first place that I look at. You can use stretch bands to reduce the total amount of
weight. Or you could just use all the tips that we had, John. That's all right.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Negatives. Now your turn, Kevin.
Bands. Cass, your turn.
A chair and jump? I don't know.
There you go. See, we got 3 tips.
You can do explosive concentrics. Yeah, I would generally, though, when you're looking for total volume, something like a ladder approach wouldn't work because you do want to test your total volume. So the ladder approach is cutting that volume in half. So yeah, you'll be good at doing 3 reps or 2 reps and taking that short amount of break in between. But I would probably be doing a couple more reps at that first point and then doing almost like a pseudo ladder drop set sort of thing.
What about just doing some weighted pull-ups at reps of 3 or 4?
You can do that too, yeah. Yeah.
Cass, do you want to take the next question?
My name is Lindsay, and I'm a big fan of the FitCast. You all do great work, so keep it up. My wife and I exercise regularly and enjoy trying different programs. Right now, I have her doing the Perfect Body Diet by Cassandra Forsyth, who is absolutely amazing. And he wrote that. I didn't.
Oh, that wasn't there.
Come on.
Yes, it was.
No, that's not part of it. That's
fire. I wouldn't say that. Okay. My daughter's interested in a few inches for graduation in June. No, that's my wife. Sorry. However, Mike, specifically about her leg and gait. So this is for Jonathan Fass, doctor of physical therapy. Her leg lift is a half inch shorter. Her left leg is a half inch shorter than her right. This is not due to past injury. She was born that way and is something that seems to run in her family. She wears a lift in her left shoe daily to keep it help even everything out, and also wears it while she works out, but still experiences aches and pains every once in a while in her hips and lately her right knee. I'm worried about how this half inch difference is affecting her when she is squatting, doing lunges, and any other exercise that involves similar movement patterns. I know we should get to see a physical therapist eventually, but I first wanted to see if you had any advice regarding exercises that she should absolutely not be doing given her condition, in quotations, and or anything else you would recommend to prevent injury and aches and pains. Dr. Fass, it's at you. Thank you, Lindsay.
Yeah, you know, and this is an interesting that happens, these leg length discrepancies. They're not completely uncommon, and we do have two types. We have a functional and we have a structural. So what Lindsay's describing for his wife is a structural leg length discrepancy, which means that the leg is actually shorter. One side is actually shorter than the other. Mm-hmm. A functional tends to happen when we have muscle imbalance and muscle stiffness, you know, hip flexors, whatever. And then you can functionally create a shorter leg, but with proper training, you can undo that. As far as a structural imbalance, the heel lift should be enough to fix it. It's possible that you may need to have that looked at. Maybe something is worn away. Usually those heel lifts are on the outside of the shoe, but they can also have inserts as well. So it depends on how that was treated. Going to physical therapist, obviously, is your best bet because they'll be able to evaluate what's actually happening. As far as what exercises you can do and not do, honestly, it really does depend if there's anything specifically happening while you're exercising, because there, theoretically, that heel lift, the shoe lift, should take care of everything. And it does depend whether or not that the femur is actually short of the tibia, and normally it's the shin bone, if I recall. But either one, it can have an effect depending on where the problem is. Actually, I'm sorry. No, it is usually at the femur. So that may be an issue in terms of squatting. You'd have to look at the width of the legs, possibly widen out the stance, things like that, that could have an effect on the knee if we've got two different shaft lengths there from the bone. But otherwise, in general, I would still look at that glute firing, because a lot of times that can affect glute firing, the hip position, and therefore the total leg position. So make sure that the movement is precise and that everything looks the way that it's supposed to be. If there's a problem there, that's your first clue as to, okay, we can maybe straighten this up, get your form a little bit better, reduce like a lumbar curve, for instance, get better hip firing and hip movement, and see if that can take away some of that pain. But again, overall, you're on the right track there. The physical therapist should be able to see that and make corrections. Having said that, make sure you choose your physical therapist properly, someone that is aware of exercise. I mean, we're talking about better stuff than the average gym goer, you know, is dealing with. You know, squatting, lunges is like, you know, no one's even heard of that in the gym. So make sure that the physical therapist is also a good, you know, person to consult as far as that goes, and that they will understand the difference between good form and bad form, because those little details are going to make the biggest difference.
You mean the leg press?
Yes, leg press.
Not squatting, yes. Leg press.
Squatting, yeah. That's what I assumed, right? Leg press.
Yeah,
I don't even know what a squat is. Means those are bad for your knees.
Because the leg press is on the test. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, it is.
Next question that we have.
Yes, squats are bad for your knees, yep. So you want a leg press.
Leg press and then shoulder press.
And then hamstring curl.
Hamstring curl, and then leg extension. Let's just make it a leg day. Right?
Why is that? I mean, why is that like the leg day is leg extension,
leg curl? Well, because
and then the leg press, and then they will do a squat. They'll do a back squat, like a quarter squat, with like all the weights on plates on the side.
500 pounds.
Yeah, that's like the standard like leg day.
Check it out, bro. That's like 140 degrees, bro.
Bruh.
That's what I do. That's how I work out.
Yep.
That's why I have huge legs.
Huge.
Huge.
Hey, speaking of working out, just a little plug for Cassie. on Facebook. On Facebook, there is a Facebook group called Heavy Lifting Women, and I am the interview of the month. So check it out. Oh, cool. It's called Heavy Lifting Women, and it was created by Lisa Liege, who is a advocate of heavy lifting for women. So it's a little Facebook group.
Nice.
Just thought I'd let y'all know on that one. Okay. All set.
Yeah, and speaking of Facebook, John, don't go on Facebook while we record. That's not professional. I mean, you're a doctor now. Let's just put it in the past. Next question comes from Gerald.
How did you know I was on?
Because I can go on Facebook because all I have is a bachelor's. It's different. Next question that we have comes
from... No, in fact, because I have more expertise, I can multitask better.
Really?
That's the answer.
Next question comes from Gerald. Hello, Kevin. I've been a little listener to the FitCast for some time now. I usually listen to past episodes in the morning as I walk to the subway station and ride it to work. I know you mentioned in the past how you thought you would never be really cover model jacked and ripped. Well, you've made very definitive progress over the past 6 weeks. I was wondering how you feel about it now. Do you still feel that despite the massive amounts of effort you put in, the results are still not in proportion to what you put in? Please don't misinterpret this as any sort of discouragement at all, because I just wanted your perspective. I and others really appreciate the effort you put in on the FitCast and like it very much. Gerald, I'm pretty happy with the results. You know, it's not too bad. The first 4 weeks are torturous and the last 4 weeks are torturous. The middle was awesome. And, you know, right now I'm probably closer than I've been in a long time towards abs, and it will probably happen in about 4 weeks. So, you know, if that happens and I reach my goals, I don't have to have, quote, pipes, and as long as I can still lift my heavy shit, I'll be happy. And, you know, I can say I did it clean, so yay for me.
Yay for Kevin.
Yay for Kevin.
Next question comes from Kane. Where can I go to become a certified strength conditioning specialist? Is this a mail-in degree, or are there schools out there? I tried Googling it and came up with no schools. I am in California. Thanks, Kane. Kane, go to nsca-lift.org, and you can get the information on there. I believe for the CSCS, you need a bachelor's in anything. So as long as you have a bachelor's in anything, you should be good to go.
Yep, and in fact, here's I'll throw out my plug. There will actually be an update on the blog this week. yep, Katie Wilson, who has her own blog, was kind enough to offer a guest spot. And since I'm in the midst of studying and more studying and more studying, she keeps a blog about like continuing education and things like that. So she wrote a nice little article on educational opportunities for personal trainers. So look out for that.
Pipes.
And I'll just say that I studied for the CSCS exam only by reading the textbook. I did it in a week, and I passed.
Yeah, that's all you need. Just get the book, and if you really are nervous, get a couple of the practice tests. You'll be good to go.
Yeah. Practice I had the practice test. Sorry. Forgot those. Yep. The only thing I didn't know that they don't have in the textbook, and I've talked to Jonathan about this, is they didn't have a much on anatomy or, you know, where certain muscles are, which, I mean, I will admit, like, I know what certain muscles are, but I'm not like Jonathan where the point of insertion of this muscle is that.
Or
it does
Cressy.
This.
Cressy's just a freak.
Yeah, he's
okay,
a freak.
Okay, Cressy's like that, but Jonathan's like that too. Jonathan, you were like pointing out shit that I was like, what? I mean, that's hard. It's not hard to confuse me on that, but I have my kinetic anatomy book that I'm going
you
to be studying now that
your
I'm
upper
finally.
Dorsum. Yeah, inserting into your uvulin bone and...
So just as a suggestion for the CSCS exam, because it's not in the textbook, but just look up what muscle is firing when you're, say, squatting. Just something simple like a squat, like a, I don't know if they did they say leg extension or something? It was like silly.
Oh, yeah. Basic stuff. Yeah, it's
just
not
very
like,
basic muscle movements, yeah.
Yeah, it's very basic stuff. Like, they won't... Yeah, go ahead.
Wouldn't they say just like the answers would be quads, glutes, hamstrings? It wouldn't even be like
I don't remember there being anything.
No, there was a little bit more difficult than just quads, glutes, hamstrings. It was something like the bicep femoris versus the bicep tendinous or something like
enough.
That.
Great guy. Yeah, like you have to know the major muscles, but they're not asking like crazy kinesiology. Like this muscle produces shoulder abduction the first 30 degrees. You know, it's not stuff like that. But it's kind of like I remember. I think from my test, it was the sort of thing where it was probably during the practical section was the most anatomy where they'd say like, oh, if you're doing this stretch, what are you trying? What muscle are you actually trying to lengthen? Or in this exercise, this muscle will be, you know, will be strengthened or something like that. So you have to understand the muscles that you're trying to engage during exercise and stuff. I don't think there was anything more complicated than that, though, was there?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. But you certainly – I mean, there's a couple easy questions like that. I mean, if you don't know your anatomy, you'll blow it. But
So don't blow it.
So don't blow it.
Next question.
Read the text.
Yeah, get the book. The next question that we have – comes from E. I'm a female amateur boxer getting ready for my first fight. I'm currently dieting and have lost 10 of the 20 pounds I need to lose to get into a good weight class for my height. My question is about strength and conditioning. While my trainer is great at teaching the sport and science of boxing, his strength and conditioning advice is vague at best. I was hoping you could shed some light on a good program to increase my strength, power, and endurance. I train with my coach 3 times a week for an hour and a half, hour to an hour and a half, doing all the training stuff you see on the, quote, Rocky movies, programs I already own are Afterburn, New Rules Lifting for Women, Kettlebell Body, Josh Hill's Fighter Workouts for Fat Loss, and Turbulence Training, just to name a few. Thanks in advance for any advice that you could share, Ian. I would say go with, as John said, NRAW for women. I didn't know she's people were it. Abbreviating that, but...
New Rules of Lifting.
She's got it.
Then do it.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Now I'm going to throw out the controversial stance that's going to get everyone pissy and moody. But what's it called is very good for fighters. What the hell is it called? The stuff we're always dogging.
Arnold's bodybuilding.
No. The CrossFit.
CrossFit.
Yeah, CrossFit is actually pretty good. Yeah,
I saw someone wearing a CrossFit t-shirt the other day. It was awesome.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, CrossFit is actually really good. Now, we see a lot of, you know, mixed martial artists and people like that tend to use it a lot more. And we're not necessarily saying CrossFit specifically. Like, you don't have to go on the website and say, oh, I'm going to do the workout of the day. But something along those lines, we're looking at, like, metabolic type of GPP training, you know, general physical preparedness, that kind of stuff. Because, I mean, what she described, she said it right there, strength, power, and endurance. And what is CrossFit? They hold up their banner as we're good at everything. You won't be excellent at one thing, but you'll be very good at everything. And certainly something like boxing, where you need power, endurance, you know, strength, that could be something to use. Maybe not necessarily. Well, even then, if you look at CrossFit, there they do throw in days where it's more of a strength training day, and it's not the focus of what they do. But they have like one or two a week where it's supposed to be low rep, you know, strength building. So that I would actually recommend something like that.
Cool.
I've never heard of that kettlebell workout. I'm looking it up. Have you guys ever heard that? Kettlebell body? Kettlebell. Huh. Go to the page.
Sorry, I haven't been looking at the chat box.
No. She listed it.
Kettlebell body.
Kettlebell body. It's interesting. It's like one of those ad copy pages, though.
Right.
Can stand those, but apparently they work really well for sales. Apparently,
studies have shown.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, that's it.
Oh, we're done.
That's it. We're done. So before we do leave, John, it is time to give that award that every person craves for more than the Nobel Peace Prize and the insert award here. What do you got, John?
It was a tough one this week. I guess. Well, we had a nice. I don't know. I'm doing my furrowing of the brow when I do that too. I'll go with the college student.
Shane,
the college student. And we had a lot of really good questions, but I thought that was a unique one. I was going to give it to the leg length discrepancy, but then I'm just being biased. So
yeah, that'd be so PT of you.
Yeah, I know. So. I'm gonna give it to the college student because I think that was an interesting question. You know, how do you balance out family with fitness?
As a physical therapist, what's your opinion on why the Yankees suck?
Oh, I'm totally bowing out of this one.
I hate you. You know why they suck? You know why they suck? Because they still insist on throwing Jabba in the rotation instead of having it as middle relief. Yeah. Do you know how many games we would have won if Jabba was throwing in the 7th and the 8th instead of 1 through 5?
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode of the FitCast. Please make sure to check out John's site at acceleratedstrength.com and jonathanfast.blogspot.com and Cass's at CassandraForsyth.com. You can check out the FitCast on iTunes. Please subscribe. Please submit reviews. We got like over 100 reviews, but unfortunately, we still haven't taken Oprah over. So I would like.
Yeah, did you see the last review?
Was the one about you, John?
No, it wasn't about me. He just said someone said something. He called us new gurus, and I guess it was. I mean, that was good. It was a really good review, but I got kind of feeling. We were called New.
Wait a second. Where are these reviews? You guys got to help me out.
On iTunes, in the iTunes music store.
Yep.
So I'm going to go look and read them. Very good.
He called us the new gurus, and I just, it's just weird. You call, I don't know, a guru.
Tom, we're trying to wrap up the show, man. You're kind of dragging it down.
I know, and you know why? Because you brought up the Yankees, and now I'm pissing on your parade. See that? That's how that works.
Okay.
I love you boys. You guys are cool. Guys are. Listen, I you know, I've been living in PhD like hell for the last couple of months. This is what I've been missing. I needed you.
Well, that's why we want you on every single week.
So. Well, I will try as best as possible. If we do it at 10 o'clock in the morning, it means I can still go mountain biking in the afternoon.
Nice.
Awesome. Okay, I'm trying to. I'm at the FitCast. I'm going to read the reviews, and I'm going to find out.
Let's go to like most recent.
Yeah, you get to see our reviews. Isn't this interesting, guys? That's why we're going to stop recording right now. So please check out thefitcast.com. Check us out on iTunes. Check out for some blog updates this week. And until next time, John.
Red Sox suck.
But they're in. They have a better record than the Yankees, so that makes so much sense.
Two games. Red Sox suck.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
See you next time. All right, welcome to the off-topic discussion. I'm with Mr. Fass. And
hola.
Sandra Forsyth. We're getting ready to record a show, and John has talked up this amazing story that he has. So,
no,
I talked it up.
Cassandra talked up. He's trying to get me in trouble. Look, if this story bombs, it has nothing to do with me.
I almost peed my pants when you were telling me this story. I was driving, and I was like, tears are coming to my eyes. I'm like, oh my god, I cannot. Okay, do it.
So when I talk to Cass, usually I'll say, oh, I have a story, and I'll make up an exciting title for the story just to entice her interest. So this was Talking Dumbbells with the Dumbbell. All right. So I was at the gym the other day, and this guy and I go to a gym here on Staten Island. So I was really at the end of my workout. I'm doing some cable pull-throughs as an accessory. I've got just a few things left, and I'm out of here. And I'm supersetting back and forth, and of course, this one guy is now doing overhead triceps extensions with the rope attachment. So I just came over and said, hey, can I finish my set? Yeah, sure, buddy, no problem. Okay, so I go in there, do my cable pull-throughs, and he's watching me, and he goes, so, you know, does that really work, like the legs or something? And I'm sitting here thinking, like, no, I'm just doing this because I'm stupid. Yeah, of course. So I say, yeah, you know, it works the legs. And he says, so what is that, like your hamstrings or something? And I'm like, well, a little bit more glute in this position, but yeah, you know, something like that. He goes, no, it's not your hamstrings. He sure it's not your hamstrings. He says, don't they attach up here and they're doing that? And I'm like, well, you got to look at the line of pull here from the cable, which I probably just blew his mind with. But I was like, you're directly opposing hip extension here. It's really glutes. And he says something about where the glutes are. He's like, but aren't they here? What is it here? And I'm like, no, it's actually attaching on the side here at the IT band. I mean, there's the gluteal tuberosity, but it's a minor attachment. And he just looks at me and he goes, what are you, some kind of trainer or something? And I'm like, oh, yeah, trainer, physical therapist. But yeah, yes, it's what I do. And that was the dumbest thing I ever could have said, because now this guy's asking me every single question that you can possibly think of for the next 20 minutes. And he's like, oh, okay, because, you know, I'm trying to lose a little bit of weight here. You know, the summer's coming up, but I'm trying to lose a little bit of weight. And I'm like, okay. So what's your diet look like? See, that's the problem. I just can't diet. So I'm like, well, yeah, you know, that's going to be a problem for you because, you know, exercise is going to be limited in how much you can do. See, he's like, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, I cut out the shoulders, I cut out all that, but I can't give up my white bread. And I'm like, well, you know, I mean, if I mean, if you cut down your calories, it's, I mean, you can have some white bread. I mean, it's not going to, you know, it's probably not going to do anything. You know, but yeah. So what I'm saying is, you know, so should I be running? And I'm like, I don't know. Sure. No, I don't know. What are you trying to see? Cause I'm doing construction all day. That's what I do. So, you know, I'm active all day long. And so I'm wondering, and I'm like, look, you got to get it. So we're going on that. We're talking about calories. Then he starts, talking about steroids, and he says, you know, steroids really bad for me. Cause all these guys are walking around, they're huge and they're lean. And I'm like, look, to be honest with you, I can't give you a definitive answer that the research isn't there, but you know, and he's like, because you know what? Because I don't want to lose my hair. And I'm thinking, and I take a step back and I go, this is the problem? I said, you don't want to do steroids because you might lose your hair? Out of all the reasons why you're not going to do steroids, hair loss is the one that's on the top of your list there. But I'm like, you know, whatever. So finally, he brings up some things about nutrition, or I do, or something, and I mentioned Cass. I said, well, you know, my friend, she has her PhD in nutrition. This is what her research shows, whatever. So he comes back with, yeah, but, you know, I talked to my doctors, and my doctor says not to do this. And I'm like, okay, well, look, with all due respect to a physician, I'm not going to ask a nutritionist to give me a knee replacement. So why are you asking your physician what to eat? I said, they are, you know, they're physiologists. They understand the human body, but it's different. And he goes, yeah, but you know what? Like, okay, but your friend, like, you know, did she actually do the research, or she like get a PhD out of a book? And at that point, I was just like, get your PhD out of a book? I was like, listen, pal. Like, okay. And I just like kind of walked away from that. And that was my great story.
Well, you got your DPT out of a book, didn't you?
Oh, definitely did. I didn't even go to school. I just write the letters behind my name. I don't even know what it means.
DPT. Oh, that just sounds good. Because all the chicks dig it, right, Jonathan?
All the chicks dig it. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was my story.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I must say I had to run off in the middle of that because my dog was outside barking at some kids. But I was laughing on the inside knowing what you were saying. Came back.
It wasn't as good as the sit-up fart story, but it was fun while I was there.
I don't know that one. Okay, enough. What are you eating, Fast? What's breakfast?
I mean, almonds. Yeah, it's breakfast time.
Oh.
At 10 a.m.?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Kevin, what time did you wake up?
Like 8:30.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I made a beautiful egg white omelet with a little bit of cheese and some mixed peppers. It was awesome and 250 calories.
Oh, my God. No, I'm eating more calories than that. I'm having goat milk yogurt with goat milk protein. Yeah. Oh, yes.
That's awesome.
Kevin,
no, it's
I
really
think my parents' cat had more for breakfast than you did.
Yeah, Kevin.
Hey, you know, abs, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I know. It's true.
Hey, Kevin, is Miss Lee Peel coming on today or not?
Lee will not be joining us. She has a client, so she will not be joining us today. But in the future, I mean, for some reason, you guys are like the opposite ends of the magnetic spectrum. So for some, have you guys done a show together yet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, never mind.
We're not opposite ends of the spectrum. Dude, if I was going to get abs, I would eat less calories.
Oh, no, I'm saying I meant in terms of getting on the show. I was saying for some reason we could never match you guys up on the show, but I forgot. But, yeah, no, it's
they did. It was a good show.
Yeah, we did have a good show.
Yeah, I remember that. That was,
well, I've been doing a PhD up until now, okay?
Well,
now I don't have
busy.
To do it. Yeah, slightly.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. It's good. And Jonathan graduated the same day I did. It was very cool. We had like a dual graduation.
Mm-hmm.
Except for I haven't actually walked yet. That's this weekend coming up.
Oh, is it this weekend?
Yeah, yeah. That's when my dad will be here and I get to put on the cap and gown and the hood.
Yeah.
Crap.
That's pretty cool.
What number of cap and gown is that?
What?
How many cap and gowns does that make it for you?
Well, I only actually walked during my bachelor, so this is only number 2. But it would be number 3 if I counted my master's.
Oh, we can count it.
Well, and if you counted high school, then that would be 4.
See, there we go. That's a lot.
That's true.
Okay, don't rub it in. Cass, you've never had a life before. You've just been a student forever. Yes, that's correct.
I time to get out in the real world.
I know. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay, excuse me. I didn't swear on the show.
Oh,
that's okay. That's what separates us from Oprah.
Hydroxycut got busted.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Liver failure's not good.
Yeah.
How many years? How many years?
Yeah, it was after how many years like, and like how many million 10? Sold. And they had, not that I support the crap, but it was like how many years. And like they talked about like 9 million a year boxes sold or something. And it was probably like a bunch of frat guys drinking on the weekend. I mean, you know, I don't know what the stats are of it, but.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know.
It's still pretty much just caffeine, right? And like green tea extract. I haven't looked at what they put in it.
The article said something about there was like a few ingredients that they weren't really sure about, and maybe that's why.
Or something.
But I mean, that's the problem with no controls. I mean, I'll go out on a limb and say it may not even be that Hydroxycut is such an awful product. I doubt it does much, but you know, it may not be an awful product, but. The thing is, it's not controlled, so no one has, you know, what are the warnings on it? What are the studies showing? Yes, don't mix it with alcohol or don't mix it with whatever. So, you know, I don't know.
You know what it probably is?
Wow, they did take it off the line.
Well, you know what it probably is if you take oral anabolic steroids, you mess up your liver. And a lot of people who will take Hydroxycut are also bodybuilders or figure people or just guys that want to take steroids. So probably there's more a correlation between or a correlation with taking Hydroxycut while you're also taking oral anabolic agents. Because, I mean, I'm reading the thing, but it just says that it was related to adverse reactions affecting the liver, including one death due to liver failure. I mean, you could get elevated liver enzymes from oral Winstrol. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah. So how can you 100% say that it was only Hydroxycut?
Right.
Like, maybe they're associated. They just want to hit Hydroxycut up. They said, I don't know. I'm going to read it. I won't read it out loud, but okay. I'll comment later.
I've tested positive for elevated liver enzymes twice in like the last 3 years. Yeah, and the doctors can't figure out what the hell it is.
What?
And I never drink alcohol.
Stop doing steroids.
Obviously. Kevin. Can't you tell?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. God, Kevin, you're such a roid head, man.
You want to be such a – are you looking for the performance enhancement edge for the FitCast?
No, yeah. Actually, it might just be in the that sports cream that I'm using. Quote, sports cream.
The cream and the clear.
Yeah. Oh, well. Huh. I don't drink, so it's not like I'm really in that much danger. So,
but could be some – or oral supplements you do take, perhaps.
I literally take like four things. I have a fiber blend. I have a multivitamin. I have a vitamin D calcium thing and fish oil. And I actually just ordered some Brian St. Pierre of Crest Performance convinced me to order some of that Z48 shit or whatever Teen Asian has because my sleep has been horrible.
Oh, like is it the new ZMA or something?
It's like Z...
Yeah. But you remember ZMA, remember? Zinc, magnesium, aspartate.
Yeah, that's not the mixture that they use, though. It's it's not. It's like has no relation to ZMA whatsoever in terms of the ingredients. It's like $45 a bottle, which is quite a bit. But he only uses half the or a third of the recommended dosage, and he says he's more or less out, and he stays asleep for some reason. More or less, it's from the low calories, but my sleep has just been shit. So I thought it would be worth giving a shot.
You could try tryptophan. Honest to God, when I dieted and I couldn't sleep, I had tryptophan.
I think it has tryptophan in it.
It works because tryptophan. But the only thing is with tryptophan, you can't take it with a protein because it's an amino acid precursor.
Just on an empty stomach.
Yeah, no. You have to take it with a tiny bit of carbs. So I used to eat it with like a little bit of butternut squash, like a couple cubes of it or something when I was dieting. And it helped, seriously.
Let's see. It's called Z12, and it's like a crazy long thing that I don't want to read. 4-amino-3-phen butyric acid, HCl, L-theranine, 5-hydroxytriptrophan.
I think every off-topic we should just have you read the ingredients of things. That would make me giggle. Yeah, you know, the off-topic is supposed to be fun, and you guys are talking knowledge, and I'm just not happy right now.
Oh, well, okay. Are you guys going to see the new Star Trek movie?
Oh, hell yes.
Looks awesome.
Oh, really? God. There's a new Star Trek movie?
Next week, yeah. It might be better than Crank. It's going to be tough, but I think it might be better.
I want to see the new Wolverine movie. I want to see that.
Yeah, I heard it was crap.
What? Really?
I heard it was okay.
Nah, it got horrible reviews, and then
So, Roger Ebert said it was shit.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, great. I'm not 7 years old, overweight, and actually care about the history of movies. I just like fun stuff. So.
Yeah, but the Metacritics on Rotten Tomatoes, dude, it was horrible.
Okay, so why on all these movies that they have now, like the I'm on the website for the Star Trek movie. Why is everyone? It's just their faces, and then the lead guy is like his face is down a little bit, and he's like looking through his eyebrows, you know, at you, and that's what the Wolverine one looks like. Check out Wolverine and check out Star Trek movie, and they're all lined up the same way. They're all lined up the same way. What the hell? Get like, why don't you have them in a big circle? You know, I don't know.
Clearly, the focus groups have told them something.
This is effective. Cool. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. The guy looks hot.
James T. Kirk.
Yeah.
Tiberius. Oh, and you know what I also watched?
Sorry. Sorry.
She got a little excited.
I didn't know.
Oh, so she's like, she forgot she was on like mic. She's like, oh yeah.
Did you hear the sound? No, you guys didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
What sound?
Oh, you didn't hear Star Trek.
And to think, Cass will be a professor one day, molding young minds.
Shut up.
She'll do okay.
Not yet. I'm still only 29 years old, man. I'm not supposed to be mature until I hit 40, okay? Come on.
Oh, thank God. Is that the case?
30 is the new 20.
30 is the new 20.
Okay, I have to just go actually get some food in my belly. I'm so like.
Okay, John and I are going to talk about something.
Okay, talk about girls or boobs or something.
Yeah, John, let's talk about boobs for 10 minutes. So, John.
Oh,
John, have you seen a good pair of boobs lately?
So, yeah, the Star Trek movie, dude, awesome. That so far, because I think it got released in, like, Australia first or something.
Great reviews, I know. I know I saw that. I know.
Great
I know.
Reviews.
I know.
Great reviews.
I know.
I wouldn't care if this was like 0% fresh. I still would have gotten it. But 17 fresh, 0 rotten reviews. That is hardcore.
That's almost
perfect.
Dude,
I'm all over this. You think? Oh, man. I'm all over this.
Have you heard of the movies called Fanboys?
Yeah.
You should see that. It's really good.
It's a documentary, isn't it?
Kind of depressing. No. It's got... What's her name? Kristen Bell in it.
Really?
That's automatically a plus one for me.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely a plus one. Kristen Bell is okay. How long has this off-topic been going on? This is a sad off-topic.
16 minutes.
Oh.
People love this stuff, you know?
I know. You're going to have to edit. I feel horrible.
Just drop a knowledge bomb and we'll just calm the air.
I have no knowledge.
So I think Captain Crunch... Peanut Butter Captain Crunch, that they've changed the formula since I was a kid.
You think?
Because it's not as good.
Did they make it the More Fire remix?
Well.
More Fire.
The Captain's still the same. And they also don't sell Oops All Berries anymore. Like, that was the cereal when I was a kid. Oops All Berries. Because who
Oops
wants.
Oops All Berries.
Have you heard of that?
No, what the hell is that?
It was, you know Captain Crunch and Crunch Berries, right?
Yeah, Crunch Berries.
Yeah, it was just the berries.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did. You're right.
And then it was causing kids to gain like 14 pounds overnight, so.
Oh,
It's just pure sugar.
Child. I think that's child abuse.
Yeah, no, actually, I do have something good for the off-topic. Have you heard of this, like, Pepsi and Mountain Dew throwback that they're actually using cane sugar in? instead of high fructose corn syrup.
Really?
Yeah, no, this is actually, like, getting pretty popular. If they sell it at most, like, Targets and Walmarts now. If you look for it, it's just Pepsi throwback or Mountain Dew throwback, and it's just the original formula. It's the, you know, number one ingredient's water, second ingredient sugar. You know, like, really? How it should be. And
no
people
kidding.
Seem to be buying it, like, in droves, because now they think sugar is better for you than high fructose corn syrup, so you might as well get the throwback stuff and get the real
cane
sugar.
Well, you know, Kevin, they say it's bad for you.
No, I saw a commercial that told me that it was not bad for me and that it was just like corn. So corn's good for me. Why wouldn't high fructose corn syrup be?
But who's they, Kevin?
No, they're, I don't know, they told me so.
Do you always listen to what they say?
Sometimes, you know.
I love that commercial. It makes me giggle. This is an epic fail. This
haven't
topic.
You heard that high fructose corn syrup is bad for your children and will cause them to get cancer and tumors the size of golf balls?
Totally epic fail. I swear, this whole off topic has been an epic fail. I need more caffeine.
No, I got something for you.
Yeah.
What can I talk
and it
about?
Started with my story, and I knew I just didn't feel it, Kev.
I just
didn't feel it, and I got goaded into it by Cass.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, I've been going to Crest Performance once a week now.
Oh, have you? How's it been?
It's good. It's definitely a necessity. It's so much better to train there, and what was I going to say about that? And I can actually say that's what she said there. I still can't do that at work.
No, you can't.
Because
no, you really shouldn't.
I filled out this no zone thing.
How's Eric doing after the engagement? Is he kind of floating?
Oh, he's doing good. He did some. You know, have you heard of the Graston tool?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's using Graston now.
Yes and no. He's been using a butter knife or like a regular knife and just like a crap ton of baby oil, and he worked on my left arm and it felt awesome.
Yeah,
I'm still bruised from last Friday.
Dude, Graston is
or the Hartman.
Yes, that's it's something fierce. I had to do that to Bill when I was at the clinic. He's just like, dude, I felt so uncomfortable doing it. I was like, wow, this is horrible.
Well, I don't, like Eric was telling me, he's like, dude, your arm is like Rice Krispies. He's like, this is, my arm's fucked up. All right.
Why is your arm, I'm back. Why is your arm like Rice Krispies? What the fuck?
It's just incredibly bad tissue quality all up and down my arm. And I'll have like numbness. All the way down to my fingertips on my arm when I do stuff sometimes.
Which fingertips?
Middle and the one between my pinky and middle, I guess. I don't know.
You're an ulnar entrapment, dude.
Well, yeah, that's the thing that I've had since, I don't know, 8 months ago from benching too much or something. I don't know. And the stick doesn't help, so I just have to get Eric to work on it once a week. Hopefully that will get it better. Now my arm smells like baby oil.
That's sexy.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, I can give off some bad signals to some people, but... All right. Are you guys ready to record?
You say that... You said you had the pinky or the middle finger? What did you say? You said the pinky.
I don't
and
know
the...
my fingers. I don't know. It depends. I didn't really write that down.
No, and which one do you feel it in, though?
The numbness?
Yeah.
Or the tingling? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's fingers in general. I mean, mostly not thumb, but I don't know the other four.
But you said the pinky and the ring in the middle?
Yeah, sure.
Wait, pinky ring in the middle?
If you want, you can touch my arm sometime.
I would love to. Well, if it's the pinky and the ring, it's your median nerve. If it's like your middle, kind of, just kind of.
Well, Palo thought it's, you know, it's just the.
I'm gonna reverse that rather. Spin it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The, you know, the nerves running up and down my arm are just getting agitated from the shitty tissue quality.
Right.
So, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yay for me. All right, I'm going to stop recording. We're going to record the show now. We'll hopefully you guys listen to all 24 minutes of this.
Oh my God, that was horrible. Just erase the whole damn thing.
No, John, they want it.
Oh my God, it was horrible.